This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. A criminal investigation continues into activities surrounding the Air Force's $20 billion deal with Boeing for 100 air refueling tankers. Behind the investigation is the story of Boeing's intensive lobbying campaign. The tale shines new light on Washington's revolving door and the former government officials who greased the skids for giant federal contracts, NPR's John Itzty reports.
If the Boeing scandal were a movie, its opening scene might unfold behind heavy mahogany doors in a Capitol Hill committee room. A small, select group of lawmakers sits around a broad table reconciling House and Senate versions of a defense appropriations bill. A powerful senator, Republican Ted Stevens of Alaska, convinces his colleagues to add something totally new to the legislation, a pilot program to lease 100 new tankers from Boeing. Keith Ashdown is a defense expert for Taxpayers for Common Sense.
Some powerful lawmakers have decided by themselves that we were going to give one of the largest corporate welfare giveaways in the history of this country to this one powerful company. And so this is the scene where you capture the audience's attention. And now the plot begins.
And the plot winds through Washington's corridors of power all the way to the White House. The intense lobbying campaign was directed by Rudy De Leon, a former deputy defense secretary who now heads Boeing's Washington office. For Senator John McCain, it's a reminder of President Eisenhower's warnings about the dangers of a military-industrial complex.
I'm sure that somewhere President Eisenhower is saying, "See, I told you so."
Senator McCain, a Republican from Arizona and former Navy combat pilot, led the fight against the Boeing lobbying campaign.
The amount of money that they spent lobbying is staggering, but remember, they balance that against a $20 billion contract, which the General Accounting Office, the Congressional Budget Office, and the Congressional Research Service all said would cost the taxpayers $5.8 billion more than it should have. B-billion. Remarkable ripoff.
In addition, McCain argued a case hadn't been made that the aging fleet of tankers needed replacing, especially since 2 years earlier the Air Force had pronounced them viable for three more decades. McCain held hearings and forced Boeing to release more than 7,000 pages of documents related to the tanker deal. Those documents include emails between Boeing executives that open a unique window on a huge lobbying effort. Again, Keith Ashdown.
This is an email from one of Boeing's lobbyists to one of the senior Boeing officials, and it, in a point-by-point description, describes its public relations campaign.
This email reveals the names of retired military brass working for Boeing on the campaign. They include the former top general in the Air Force and a retired senior naval officer. Both served on the Defense Policy Board. That board is supposed to give independent advice to the Secretary of Defense, says John McCain.
And now we find out that these same people who are on this board were paid consultants to Boeing.
Another member of that board, former Assistant Defense Secretary Richard Perle, wrote an op-ed piece in support of the tanker deal that was published in the Wall Street Journal. Perle is a partner in a venture capital firm in which Boeing has invested $20 million. The email also says Boeing ghostwrote several opinion pieces in support of the tanker deal, including one for a retired top Navy admiral, a revelation very troubling to Senator McCain.
It's my deepest disappointment. That's just not what the tradition of the military is all about.
Now, the lobbying activities we've listed so far aren't illegal, nor do they appear to violate any official rules, even though some might view them as unethical. But Brookings Institution defense analyst Michael O'Hanlon says it's necessary to keep the revolving door in perspective.
Washington's full of ex-generals and ex-congressmen making a lot of money. It's commonplace to trade in influence or knowledge for money. That's not always necessarily a bad thing. We're striking a balance between needing some of this proximity and access for the system to have its skids greased, and also making sure people don't enrich themselves at the expense of the country or the taxpayer.
And of course, many of these consultants would defend their work on Boeing's behalf with the same argument presented by Senator Stevens, that the current Air Force tanker fleet, which has an average age of 43 years, is outdated and unreliable.
These tankers predate Eisenhower's administration. I just do not understand why we should put people to fly planes in combat that were made before their grandfathers or in the military.
Most disturbing to Senator McCain are emails detailing what he describes as an incestuous relationship between Air Force officials and Boeing.
There's a man named Mr. Nguyen, who is Deputy Secretary for Acquisition. He put out an email detailing his negotiating strategy with Boeing as to how he was going to approach it to get the best deal for the Air Force. Within 4 minutes of Mr. Samber, the Assistant Secretary of the Air Force, receiving that information, he transmitted it directly to the Boeing people. Now, that's remarkable.
The most serious allegations of incestuous behavior, however, are leveled at Darlene Druyan, the lead Pentagon procurement officer on the Boeing deal. Druyan took a job at Boeing earlier this year, but she was fired last month, along with Boeing's chief financial officer, Michael Sears. The company determined the two had discussed the job while Druyan was still working on the tanker contract at the Pentagon. Now Druyan is being investigated for possibly providing Boeing with pricing information on a tanker bid from its arch competitor Airbus. The Boeing emails also detail lobbying at the White House. One says Speaker Hastert has had very direct conversations with the president and Andy Card. That's the president's chief of staff. A later email recounts this exchange between the president and Mr. Card. Again, Keith Ashdown.
President Bush said to Andy Card, "You're going to be on point for me on this issue. Let's get this deal done."
The problem was that even the president's own budget office said the $20 billion lease plan was too expensive. Andy Card proposed this solution. The government would double its order if Boeing would lower its price per plane. Here's an email summarizing a conversation a Boeing lobbyist had on the subject with White House budget official Robin Cleveland. Keith Ashdown.
"Jim, Robin Cleveland called to tell me deal done. I asked her about the 200 tankers. She said yes. That was Andy Card's view of the deal."
But the 200 tanker deal never took flight. It was grounded by another Boeing scandal. In July, the company was stripped of a $1 billion rocket contract after the Air Force found that Boeing had obtained thousands of proprietary documents from competitor Lockheed Martin. In the end, a scaled-back tanker deal was approved by Congress. Now the whole program is on hold. The scandals have sullied Boeing's reputation. Earlier this month, after Druyan and Sears were ousted, Boeing's CEO, Phil Condit, announced his resignation. His replacement, Harry Stonecipher, had this to say in a conference call with reporters.
"I plan to play an active role with our Washington office, seeing that we satisfy the customers' concerns and can get on with being not just compliant, but an exemplary government contractor."
Stonecipher was head of McDonnell Douglas before it merged with Boeing in 1997. That merger was part of Boeing's strategy to boost its defense business. Ironically, Boeing may have stumbled because of a change in its Washington lobbying approach after that merger. One former Boeing employee said it was transformed into a McDonnell Douglas-style deal-making backroom operation. Senator McCain credits Boeing for the steps it's taken to redeem itself, but he says he's disappointed with the response from the Air Force. Despite repeated requests, both Boeing and the U.S. Air Force declined to comment for this story. John Idstey, NPR News, Washington.